Welcome to the Massage Life Podcast. I'm Jordan Pearson. I'm a chartered professional accountant, and I'm here with my wife, Melissa Pearson, who's a registered massage therapist. And we're here with a guest. We have Joanna Sapir. I'm just going to introduce you first, Joanna, and then I'll give you a chance to speak. So Joanna Sapir is a business strategist for holistic practitioners, particularly those that integrate multiple modalities. Joanna's special ability is in helping practitioners set up repeatable systems and processes in their businesses to serve their clients more powerfully and enroll committed long-term clients and create steady income and cash flow. She has been a teacher and trainer for more than 20 years, from the classroom to the gym floor, and now to wellness practices across the world. She's born and raised in San Francisco. She's a mother of two, and a USA Masters National Champion in Olympic-style weightlifting, and the host of the Business Revolution for Practitioners podcast. And you can learn more about Joanna at joannasapir.com. I just realized, Joanna, I don't know if I pronounced your last name right. I hope I did.
You got it. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, so welcome, Joanna.
Thank
it's great
you.
To have you here.
Thank you. So great to be here.
Yeah, we've only ever had one other guest on our podcast, so it's exciting to venture and to talk to more people. You know, it's really important to us to be connected to people who are in this space and just to really, you know, I love learning, and Melissa does as well, love learning from other people who, you know, have a lot of experience in the, you know, the business side of things working with wellness practitioners. And so it's an honor to be able to connect with you and to have you on the podcast today. So thank you for taking the time, Joanna.
Absolutely. It made me a lot. Excited to be here and happy to share. Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So I gave an introduction, but do you want to just, was there anything I missed? Anything else you wanted to say just about who you are, or just to, you know, you can brag, you can take some time to, you know, boast about all of your achievements or.
I don't need to brag, but just to share that, you know, I think all of us in wellness and in body work and massage therapy, but really any wellness fields, we get into this work not because we're like, ooh, I want to start a business and be a business person. We get into this work because we are attracted to this work that we do, and we want to help people, and we see the power of its healing and helping. And so I was just like anybody listening in the same way, but I ended up starting a strength and conditioning gym. But it was the exact same thing. It was like, oh, I know how to do this, and this changed my life, and I want to bring this to other people and help other people. And I ended up very organically kind of opening this gym, and very quickly it grew and was, you know, quote unquote successful. And I very quickly realized, oh my goodness, I don't know how to run a business. You know, we're allowed to start businesses without any business background whatsoever. I don't have business in my family. We're all like public servant kind of people. I had been a public school teacher for the previous 10 years. And so I had to learn it. And basically what I do now is explicitly teach practitioners, body workers, massage therapists, how to do the business side of things, because so many people get into business and they just piddle along. And a lot of times end up either struggling so much that they just go out of business, or the other end of things get so slammed and busy that they burn out and go out of business. You know, it's like there's both ends and neither is better than the other. They're both terrible because you're not able to give your gift and help people the way you want to. So I'm here to help people avoid all of that, because you actually can have a really sustainable, and I'm sure you know, Jordan, more profitable business that really helps people and helps you, serves you as well, you know?
Right. So Joanna, how did you, were you self-taught or did you reach out to other professionals? Like how did you develop these skills yourself?
Yeah, I mean, it was just years and years of learning. And so I think it was a combination of, first I started like reading journals and where, you know, where can I learn this stuff? And then I started hiring people to work with, for sure. One of the first consultants I worked with, you know, created this spreadsheet for me. It was like that lasted, was pretty short. And then I found this person, you know, I was kind of hopping around. And eventually I found my way into this organization. It was a large fitness business coaching company, but I found a mentor there, and they eventually recruited me in to start teaching others. So I was with that company for a long time while I still own my gym. A combination of various mentors, of reading a lot, and soaking it all in. And then given my background as an academic teacher previously, it's like really a gelling of all my skills and where I come from, that I'm somebody who takes information and builds it into frameworks and structures that make it easy to explain and teach others so that they can apply it. So it was a very natural fit for me to learn stuff myself and then translate that to others.
Right. I love that. I have listened to your podcast. I haven't listened to every episode, but I love your podcast, the episodes that I have listened to. And I just, you know, and that can be a valuable resource for a lot of people as well, is just, you know, podcasts. And that's kind of what we're trying to do as well, is create resources for people, for massage therapists particularly, mm-hmm. because a lot of them really struggle with the business side of things. And I think Melissa can speak to that. You know, her time in school, the training for massage therapists with respect to the business side of things is very minimal. Mm-hmm. And in my mind, that should be one of the things that's at the forefront of their education, because when they come out of school, you know, they're thrust into the marketplace and 95% of them are working as independent contractors. So they effectively have their own business that they're trying to operate, and they have absolutely no idea how to do it. They may be great practitioners, mm-hmm. they may be great massage therapists, but when it comes to running the business side of things, it's something that a lot of therapists really struggle with. And that's been my motivation, well, Melissa and my motivation, because we want to help them, right? And it's, our intentions are not greedy. Like, I genuinely want to just help people be successful. And so it's exciting, and it's just awesome to see that you're doing the same thing. And so I love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's definitely a need.
Yeah, there's definitely a need. Yeah.
Well, and that's one of the first things that we noticed. You know, when we started the Online Wellness Institute, our initial focus was creating online courses that were going to be heavily research-based and more like anatomy and physiology and those types of things. And we, you know, that's still something that we want to do. That's still a part of our business model. But we found right away that the demand was for my business courses, right? Mm-hmm. Like those are the courses that people were buying. It's like, okay, that makes sense, right? Those are the things that they need help with. And so it's been really cool to be able to provide that service and to be able to help them. So, as the boring accountant in the room, it's, you know, I have a lot of fun doing this stuff.
Exciting, yeah. Yeah, and I love this topic that we want to chat about today, which is how to get more clients without more marketing. Because as a practitioner, I just want to help people. That's my focus. And the marketing side, it's scary sometimes. And it's like, I just don't have time. I don't know where to begin with it. And it's so overwhelming. And so I love this idea of that, hey, you don't have to spend hours and hours sitting down to do social marketing or to do, you know, all these paid ads or things like that. There's other ways that you can approach marketing and other ways that you can gain clientele without spending all this effort on marketing, because it doesn't have to be that way. So yeah. I'm really excited to chat about that.
Yeah, I mean, I think the big mistake is, so we're talking exactly about who's listening, right? Is folks who have this gift and have something to offer, right? But don't have the business skills. And when we don't know anything about business, we think that marketing is what business is. I mean, Jordan, you're doing financial management. Like, people know, right. Like, oh, yeah, there's money or whatever. But it's like, if you say the business side of things, many, many practitioners would just equate that with meaning, oh, yeah, marketing. I have to do marketing. Right. And don't actually recognize that there's so much more to business building and to building a sustainable business than marketing. Marketing is just like this sliver. It's one department in your company. And so that's actually the first thing to note, is like, nobody thinks of themselves as owning a company. But if you have your own business, you own a company. It's a company. And, you know, even if you're the one that's in charge of all the departments, there are departments to it. And marketing is barely one of them. And so it's not that marketing is unnecessary. There's got to be some way that people find out about you. But what I notice with massage therapists is many people, even when they're just starting, they are getting, you know, referrals here and there. Somebody knew about them, they served one person, then they're referred by somebody. That's already, I'm not going to call that, you know, strategic or anything, but you're already getting leads. And that is, to define marketing, in my definition anyway, marketing is activities you do to get leads, right? And so you may already be getting leads without any strategic form of marketing. Yeah. So the issue is, what are you doing with those leads? And that's where I think a lot of people are lost, and where we can talk today about the skills you can do to actually get long-term clients from the leads you already get. And what that's called is a sales process. And sales and marketing are two different things. And again, that's just one of the mistakes that many people make, is thinking that's the same thing. So when you ask somebody, you know, what do you need to do to get clients, or what do you, you know, what do you think you need to do to grow your business? Well, I need to do marketing. And you ask them what they do for marketing, and it's really haphazard, right? But it's actually, when you ask somebody, what do you do for marketing, or what do you try to do for marketing, it's all with the intention of selling. But marketing is not selling. Like, we don't want to sell our services out in the world. Like, hey, just come buy my stuff. That just doesn't work. Like, just come buy my stuff, right? Instead, we want to attract people to us, and that's the marketing side. And then how we convert them into clients is sales. So getting, so all that is to say that if any of you listening, or any practitioners listening, if you learn how to step by step take a lead and turn them into a committed long-term client, your business can be stronger even without any more marketing. Right. Let's say you get 2, 3, 4 leads a month, which doesn't sound like that much, right? But maybe you get those kind of referrals, maybe through your website, something comes up, maybe you're in a directory somewhere. I'll ask you guys, you know, what do you hear from folks? But that sounds like so little, but if you actually know how to turn those leads into clients, that's 3, 4 new clients a month, right? And if you know how to keep them as long-term clients, then that's 3, 4 clients every month for the next, you know, 5, 6 months or longer.
Yeah, and then it snowballs from there too, because you get those, you know, 4 or 5 new clients, and then they refer their friends, and it just snowballs, and then all of a sudden you have this booming practice. So yeah, it's really interesting.
So I'll just tell you a story of what I mean. This just happened to me maybe 3, 4 weeks ago. I wrote about it to my email list, but I haven't talked about it on my podcast or anything. But this is really common. So I have this curse of, because I teach people how to do this, when I am the prospective client and I'm going through somebody's total lack of sales process, I'm very critical. Which is like, it's hard for me because I just wish they were better at it, because I want to be served well. Do you know what I mean? It's really about serving your prospective client well. And I want to be served well. And this is a story of me. I have ended up without this service that I need. So, I have a body worker. And I have been dealing with an injury for the past year. I had this nerve impingement, and thank goodness it's been like almost a year, and it's really pretty much gone. Thank goodness. but I was seeing him throughout the fall, and he recommended this very particular practitioner to me, in a very specialized field to see. And he gave me the name of somebody, a woman who's local. This is all local to me. And so, great, right? He gave me her name and maybe her website or something. And so I went to her website and I'm reading this stuff, and everything there points me. It does actually say what to do, but this is the beginning. When I talk about sales process, the very beginning is, what are you asking people to do? Like, what is my step? That's how you want to think about this, as I think about it, as a series of stepping stones that you're laying out for somebody. So I'm not looking around going, what am I supposed to do, right? It's the first stepping stone is right there for me. And if I take that step, you've invited me to take that step, and I take it. And then once I'm there, you invite me to the next step. And once I'm there, you invite me to the next step. So it's totally consensual. You're not pushing me, you're not pulling me, right? It's consensual, and it's very clear for me as a prospective client, here's what's next, here's what's next, here's what's next, to the point where I'm saying yes to enrolling in long-term services with you. In this case, her first step was clear. It was, if you are a new patient or something, contact me through this form. So I filled out the form. The form didn't ask me anything though. Standard website form, name, email address, and then a box that said message. So right away, it's like, you know, just want to say to everybody out there, if you have something like that, you could make this a heck of a lot better by even just saying, tell me a little bit about you and why you're reaching out. You know, that could even start.
I feel bad because we have that.
Yeah.
But not for a practice, like not my massage practice.
Right.
Just no, I'm not trying to make anyone feel bad by any means. I know that this is all normal and this is what I teach people how to do a lot better. But I just want to explain the experience from me as a prospective client. Mm-hmm. So I filled out the form. And I don't actually recall what happened after that, but usually when you fill out these contact forms, you just get to like a standard page that just says submitted or something like that, right?
Right.
Another way that could be improved is to tell me what happens next. Submit it. Right. You know, I got your form. I'll be reading it. I'll be responding it to you within X number of days or hours by whatever form they're gonna be. You know, responding to me by something that just tells me what's next. Mm-hmm. Instead, this happened to be on a Friday that I filled that out. And so this practitioner was responsive, very timely. They responded to me on a Friday night. I'm not really going to be responding to like business, even though this is about my health. I'm like, it's Friday night. I'm not doing this.
Turned off.
But what was interesting was I got an email, a text, and a phone call from them, all of them. And the voicemail was really long and said something about, I tried to send an email, but I'm having email troubles and everything for every time I sent a Gmail, it's getting bounced back. So I don't know if you got my email, so I'm leaving this and da da da. And the text was like, I left you a voicemail, please listen to that. And then I did get the email, and the email was like, the email actually had details and said something about my first available appointment is not for many, many months, and gave me a certain day and time or something. And can you do that? Right. And gave me some details about the cost and so on. Anyway, I don't need to go through it all, but it was pretty confusing and we haven't gotten anywhere. So I responded to the email is what I responded to and said, I did get all your messages, and unfortunately, I can't make that date. And that's all I said. To me, it's their job to like direct me. Like, I'm not going to go bouncing around like suggesting days. That's just not, you know. The last thing I remember is that they texted me and said, this is really best if we can get on a phone call to nail down a time. Can I call you at this time? And I didn't even see that message until it was past the time. At that point, I'm just frustrated. And I work in the day and I work very efficiently and I teach these systems. So doing a whole back and forth with somebody, it's like, why didn't you just tell me from the first place that you wanted to get on a phone call with me? And so this is what I'm talking about, is this is lack of a sales process. And basically then they went silent. So they haven't followed up with me. And they lost me. But the thing is, who knows? Maybe that was it. Maybe they assumed that I was not a committed enough person. They might have assumed that, right? She's not committed enough, that she's not following up. She may have assumed, you know, I don't know, but that's absolutely incorrect. It's just, you made it so hard.
Right.
You know? Right. And maybe that's an extreme case, but I really don't think it is, because when I speak, I work with many, many different practitioners, and always I ask, I do an assessment of their business, and you know, they come and say, can you help me with marketing? Right. And then I do this assessment and I uncover how do you get clients, and, you know, and I'll ask things, they'll say things like, well, somebody will recommend somebody, or they'll text me, or they'll call the office. And then I say, well, what happens after that? And it's a stumbly explanation.
Because
it is almost always just kind of winging it in this way.
Right. They don't know.
There's no process.
There's no standard process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'm going to turn on my light because I see him in the dark, which is probably weird.
I was going to say.
Getting darker and darker and darker.
Ooh, there we go.
Yeah, light's not on my face, but it's a little better.
I don't know. I kind of like the ominous aura, right? It's just like...
the voice from the dark.
Like the spirit is teaching us all this wisdom.
I love it.
Oh man.
So back at it. So what any massage therapist needs to do is design a step-by-step process that's really clear. And what I always recommend, I mean, first of all, you want it to be so clear to them here, like I said, here's your next step, right? Yeah. And then here's your next step, and here's your next step, whatever the steps are. And then you as the practitioner, what you want to be doing is actually putting in place some kind of filters. And, you know, we didn't talk about this to begin with, but any successful massage therapist business is actually a really successful, profitable, sustainable, is going to have niche down to some extent. You know, when you're first starting your business, you're going to work with anyone and everyone. And I think mm-hmm. that benefits any practitioner to get all that experience. And it's through that experience that you discover who you like to work with, who you don't. If there's, you know, there might be personality types, there might be certain health conditions that you just that you struggle with, and certain health mm-hmm. conditions that you're like, this always works. I'm always doing a great job with these people. And you really want to hone right. in on who are the people that I love working with and that really see the best results. And in your sales process, you want some way to filter those folks to determine, mm-hmm. is this somebody that I really can help, that's right for me? Right. And that's what right. you want, is that match, right? So part of that sales process is that match, rather than just booking somebody into the session right away, which is actually what this person was just trying to do. She's just trying to book the session. Maybe they were trying to have a conversation with me. I don't know. Maybe they do some kind of vetting, but that should have been clear right from the beginning, right? And so what they could have had on their website instead was, and this is what my clients who are in-person practitioners do, is we do a 15-minute phone consultation, which is the initial screening process. And then from there, they're invited in to actually a full assessment and consultation. And from that assessment and consultation, a treatment plan is laid out, or a long-term plan is laid out, and the client is enrolling in that whole plan.
Right.
So you're getting commitment from people right from the beginning of what the work is on your part and theirs, what the commitment is on your part and theirs for them to reach their goals, which means you have to have conversations with them about their goals rather than just trying to please them right now, right? Like make you happy right now. This is, what are you actually after? What's the issue?
Yeah. Right. It's interesting. It's so fascinating hearing you talk about this, because it's consistent with some of the frustrations that Melissa had early on. So for many years, she worked for different spas and clinics, and for the most part, she was at the mercy of their processes, right? Their sales processes, and there wasn't a whole lot that she could do to really kind of build her own practice. Not to say that the processes they had in place were not great, but I think that they're, you know, Melissa often spoke about how frustrated she was with different things that these clinics would do. And, you know, you wanted to venture out on your own because you wanted to set up these processes, these systems in place, just to make things so much better for you and then also for your clients as well.
It goes both ways.
It totally, totally does. It's better for the clients 100%.
Yeah. Right. Because I think often we don't really think about that. Like, and I don't know, I'm just speaking off the cuff here, but I think, you know, your main goal is to get clients, to get people to come and see you, but rarely do we actually think about the customer experience, right? The process that they have to go through to get to you. And so this is a really fascinating conversation. It's not something that I've really thought about a whole lot, but I think it's a really valuable thing for us to be talking mm-hmm. about. And I'm sure you have a lot more you want to say as well.
Well, I think sometimes people think, I'm not busy because I must not be a good practitioner.
Yeah. Yes.
And they think it's somehow a reflection on the treatment that they're giving. I mean, it could be that.
It could be true, yeah.
It could be that. But I think often it has a lot to do with this, what you're talking about. It's just like, you're not making it easy for people. You're making it challenging, and people give up real fast. I've had this experience with all sorts of businesses. You know, I've been on someone's Instagram page and say they're selling candles or something, and it's like, they make it difficult for me to even purchase a candle. It's like, wait, how do I buy this? And it's like, oh, you know, PM me for purchases. And it's like, I don't want to have to message you, and then you're going to come back to me and tell me what you have available. Right. And we're just back and forth.
Back and forth.
I'm like,
back and forth.
Don't make it hard for me to give you money.
Right.
This makes sense.
Yeah, it's a really good point, Melissa. And when it comes to our own health, that is, I mean, that's a night and day difference from getting a candle. Dealing with our own health issues is really intimidating. Really intimidating. Yeah. And I have this story. I mean, I just will never forget this. It just stays with me forever. Of when I owned my gym, we had a great sales process, and it started with a free consultation, and they'd come in, it'd be an hour-long consultation. And I remember this one time, I was sitting waiting for this man to show up for his consultation, and it was 10 minutes in, and whenever somebody hadn't shown up within 10 minutes, I would pick up the phone and call them. And 9 times out of 10, I mean, it didn't happen all that often, but almost always somebody would say, I'm stuck in traffic. Thank you for calling. I didn't know where, you know, where your number was. I'm on my way.
Yeah.
Well, this one time the guy says, yep, I'm sitting inside my car outside your gym, just trying to get the courage to walk in.
Oh, jeez.
And that is, I mean, that is what it's like to deal with health stuff, you know? And so it is like that. When we're talking about customer experience, it's like we want to facilitate their health and healing. And it's not easy for people to come forward and do something about that, you know?
Right. So, Joanna, so you had a process in place where you would call these people 10 minutes, you know, if they were late for their appointment, 10 minutes. Do you think that was the thing that, like, the difference maker for people like that who were, you know, not feeling comfortable coming in? Like, because I just think about the experience for this individual who, you know, didn't have the courage to come into the gym. Like, what was it about your process that really helped him? You know, it sounds like that was maybe it. I don't know.
Well, all that was the free consultation.
Right.
So, I mean, if we're talking about a massage therapist, and if we're talking about like I teach this very specific sales process just because it's proven. I do it over and over with practitioners. And in that process, as I mentioned, there's a 15-minute phone consultation that begins. It's called a number of different things. That's usually what a practitioner will call it on their website. That is, as I said, the first filter and the vetting. And that is when that's basically you qualifying them. So you're qualifying them based on your qualifications, whatever those are, right? Is this somebody I can help? Do they meet the criteria I've laid out for the kind of person that I want to work with and that is right for me? And then it's, are they committed to this process? And so there may be budget questions in there. Part of what I do is teach practitioners how to design treatment plans and programs. So we stop selling sessions. My people who work with me don't sell sessions anymore. What they're selling is a whole plan. So part of that filtering process is making sure that the person understands that's what I do. If you're right. Just looking for a one-off session, you know, there's no fit here, but they've asked them questions at the front of the call. That's all about, why are you reaching out? What are your goals? What's going on with you? Right. And then they explain what their process is and qualify on budget and a couple other things. And then at the end is the invitation. Okay, well, you're somebody that I think I can help based on what I've said. And our next step is an in-person, again, these all have different names depending on who the practitioner is. They name it, but it's another form of consultation, but an assessment is involved. And we actually do that free still. So the phone call happens and that first session, it's not a session of services, it's the enrollment session. And that right. is still free. So they're invited in there. And I just want to respond to something you were saying, Melissa, about how sometimes we think that it's us and we're not very good. And that's what I discover happens when people take the wrong people, just take anybody for business.
Yeah. Right.
Is that you can get really challenging clients, challenging in any number of ways, and you can end up in this downward spiral where it's just they weren't a fit for you. Yeah. You know, but when you're taking everybody, you don't get this chance to see, I'm great with these people, right? And there's just some people I'm not great with. But once you turn your business into one where you're just focused on the people you're great with, it's an upward movement, right? It's like you're really, really fulfilled. But that downward spiral of, oh my goodness, these people who, you know, don't show up or cancel or complain all the time and this and this and that. And sometimes it really is a matter of, it's them and not you. And so you want to really identify that. So pointing that out. So anyway, that's very much part of this process. So I already forget the question I was answering. What was that?
It was a terrible question anyway, so don't worry about it.
I mean, I was talking about the process though, and then the in-person assessment. Yeah. But yeah. It came from somewhere. There was a question there.
Yeah. I guess the question I had was, what do you think is one of the biggest mistakes that practitioners are making? Like, do you think it's this? Do you think it's that they don't have processes in place? Like, what is it that you see all the time, a frequent mistake that practitioners are making, and it just makes you want to, like, bang your head against the wall. You're like, why do you do it like that? Why?
Yeah, all of the above. But I would say what to me is a big, I've actually feel worried for people, and it's really, really common. So yes, I bang my head, but it's really about the massage therapist is, this is going to sound shocking maybe, because I know it's really, really, really common. Shocking just because it's like what almost everybody does, but is using their personal phone and texting for business. And I just think it's a huge, huge, huge mistake in terms of boundaries. I think like learning your own boundaries as a business owner and as a practitioner, particularly in health where you're helping people, is so essential. And that texting, I was just having a conversation with somebody else the other day, and they're like, yeah, somebody will text me at dinner time, you know, and it's like, I'm supposed to be with my family, and suddenly I'm like responding to a client. And you shouldn't even be like, that's your fault. You should not, that should not be how it is. Like, you need clear lines between business, and you need your time with your family. That should all be separate. You have business hours and then all the rest. And your business hours, go ahead and respond to people. Even within your business hours, though, you might only have two times a day where you're responding to people, right? And so what happens with that kind of, people can text you and like, oh, my back hurts, can you see me, or whatever it is then you go bending over backwards to fit people in. And it's this codependent kind of savior. It's like a really unhealthy, it's an unhealthy relationship of like, I'm here to save you and I'm here to fix you. And I will not worry about my own needs in order to serve you, because I think that's making me more worthy. I think that that's what my worth is, or that's why I can charge money for what I'm doing. And like, that's just not true. That's psychological kind of codependency stuff, you know? And so that's what I'm going to put as the answer to your question is, it's something to really, really watch out for. And like I said, I know it's super common, and it's not healthy for you. That's what I'm going to say.
Right.
Well, and I think for a lot of people, it's probably driven by, you know, the financial circumstances, right? Like, you know, a lot of people, they can't afford to have two phones. But I think to your point, there's still, you know, if you're going to only have one device, you know, whether it's you have, you know, it's set mediums that you communicate with people through, and you, you know, turn those things off, you turn those notifications off when it's not your business hours. I don't know how it would work for everyone.
I think you can also have a separate phone number with one device.
Right.
And I think then you don't have to buy a separate phone or whatever. Yeah. And then, yeah, you could put more limits on that. I like that. Yeah, that's really interesting.
Yeah, because we're bad at that, you know?
Yeah, and I agree. It's this whole mentality of, like, wanting to serve people and wanting to keep people, got to keep people happy. And
right. Well, yeah. we had this experience last night. So what time was it? It was like 10:30, 11 p.m., and we were in bed. And we got an email from one of our customers who had a question about one of the products that we sell. And, you know, we could have responded to that email right away because it would have been a really easy thing to deal with. But it was like, it's 11 p.m. And you also don't want to set this precedent that it's okay for people to email you at 11 p.m. and you're going to respond right away, right? Because if you set that precedent, then people are going to take advantage of you at, you know, all hours of the day and night. And so you really, it is important to your point, Joanna, to set those clear boundaries and to be, you know, to stick to them.
For yourself first, right?
Yeah,
what are my work hours? I just find, I mean, one of the first exercises I do with clients is laying out what's your ideal schedule. And it's amazing how many people don't think about it. They end up making their schedule based on other people's needs. Well, like, what about your needs? What is your ideal schedule? And so we make that, what's your ideal schedule for your life, period, not just work, right? And so where's work fit in? And then within your work schedule, what are your client-facing hours? And that's another thing that especially solo practitioners who are fairly new and aren't doing anything really business-wise or understand the business side of things is you think, well, I'll work 40 hours a week, and you think that's 40 client-facing hours. Like, no, that's not how it works. And so my other shocker to people usually is like, okay, what's your ideal schedule? When people are given the permission to actually note, like, when do I ideally want to be working? Usually it ends up more like around 20 to 30 hours total is usually where it ends up. And then within that, I say, all right, guess what? 50% of those hours are client-facing hours. And the other 50% are spent doing your finances and your admin and your sales and your marketing.
Right.
And so just even starting there with identifying what are my client hours, and that's it. It's not slipping people in and asking them, when do you want?
Right.
You know, you have those slots and those are the slots. That's it. And also get an automated scheduler, you know?
Yes, please. Yeah. Thank you. That's one of the things that frustrates me. Whenever I try to book a massage, if they don't have the means for me to be able to book online where I can just like pick a slot, I don't even bother, right? If I have to pick up the phone and call a therapist, it's not going to happen. I'm never going to come and see you because I'm too busy. I don't have the, you know, because then there's this back and forth like, oh, well, that doesn't work. Let me check my calendar. Like, no, let me see your calendar. And I'll just put myself in a spot that works for me.
That's exactly what I was talking about with this practitioner and that back and forth. I was like, I just don't have the time to and tolerance for this, you know.
Yeah. Joanna, can I challenge you on something? Not to be contentious, but I think it would be really... So you talk about, you know, what's your ideal schedule? But at the same time, we're talking about, well, what's your ideal client? And I don't know that those two things always jive, especially for massage therapists. To give you a good example is Melissa. Melissa loves treating families. She loves working with pediatric clients. And so, but she also really wants to be able to work just, you know, a 9 to 3, right? Like, but kids are in school during the day. And so she ends up working a lot of nights, which is not ideal.
Or Saturdays.
Right. Or Saturdays, right? But so it's really not, her schedule's not ideal, but she's made the sacrifice. She's given up a lot of that because she really wants to be able to work with families and pediatric clients. And so I think that there's this balance that you kind of have to find. I mean, it's something that you've really struggled with. It's something that we've talked a lot about. Mm. And you know,
How do you balance that,
right? Because, yeah, I could have this ideal schedule where I work, you know, 9 to 3, 9 to 4, whatever. But then I'm not going to see my pediatric clients because they're all in school, right? And so it just doesn't work. And so I don't know, it's tough.
Yeah, no, that's tough. For sure. I mean, I really believe in when you identify those ideal clients, again, this is like the people that light you up, right? This is like where when you're doing that work, you're going, yes, this is why I do this, right? This is what I was meant to do. And that you're building your business around supporting them, around your services supporting them. So of course that's gonna require, in this case, I have clients who work with also just kids and it's the same thing. So you're gonna have to adjust in that way. And at the same time, you know, I imagine you're already doing this, but there probably are ways that some people will make adjustments themselves too, you know, in their own schedules. And so it's kind of like, let's say you have 2 evenings a week where you're available but then you have 2 daytimes. And it's like, if your evenings are already full and somebody comes along, the right clients are going to be like, you know, when you say I'm already full then, and this is what's available, the right clients are going to go, okay, let me figure it out, you know? So there's absolutely a balance to play there. But, I think looking at who your ideal clients are is key, and your ideal clients, when you make those connections with them, are going to make adjustments themselves, you know?
Yeah, that's a really good point, Joanna. And cause you're right. We make this assumption that, you know, I have to work nights because nobody's ever going to pull their kids out of school. But that's not true, right? Like if my kids love you and they are begging for you to come over and massage them, right? I'll pull them out of school for 2 hours so that they can see you, right?
Doctor's appointments happen during the school day all the time. And they just write the note for the school and we don't question it. The parents don't question it, you know?
Yeah. That's so true.
Yeah, we pull them out for the dentist. Nobody likes the dentist.
Right?
We're much more excited to get pulled out of school for a massage. Yeah,
that's an interesting point.
Yeah.
Cool.
Did you have any other tips you wanted to give for how to get more clients without more marketing?
I'll give tips all day. What's on my mind is that I know that you asked me a question that I was answering, and I think you're going to listen to this and it's going to like it got left, which is where I'm like, I was talking about sales process and then it got cut off. So I am just kind of concerned that that there was something missing.
That's how this podcast works though, Joanna. We have this vision at the beginning and then we always end up talking about something totally different.
Yeah.
It's like now we're talking about some weird obscure tax law that nobody cares about, but I don't know how we got here, or we just talk about embarrassing things that have happened to us. So it's totally fine.
Yeah.
It's totally fine. Our listeners don't seem to care too much.
If we're just talking like some nitty gritty details about that, about making this easy for your clients. And again, where it's every lead that comes to you, you want every lead that comes to you to go through the same process. And if they don't become clients, it's not because you lost them randomly, right? It's because either you said, hey, I don't think I'm a great fit for you, but here's somebody who may be, right? Or you actually invited them to a next step and they said, no, thank you. Like it's really, really clear. So some of those things are, as I said on your website, don't have multiple ways for them. I wouldn't have multiple ways for them to get to you. It should be really, really clear. Is this your first time, you know, talking to me? Do this. And as I said, I teach a very particular phone conversation that happens. But even if you have the contact form and say, you know, that's what you want people to do, make that really clear and put something in there about like, why are you reaching out? What's going on? You could even put a number of questions like, do you have an injury? What are the questions that you would want to know answers to in order to determine, is this somebody I want to work with? So that's kind of backing up is like, who do I want to work with? Right? Who do it's easy to start with the no's. It's easy to start with looking at your past clients and go, who was awful? I mean, it's bad to say that, but like, man, maybe there wasn't somebody awful, but like who just, you know, that was rough.
Drained you of all your energy.
Yeah, exactly. Who was draining or who was rough? That was rough or like that didn't work out right. Or I tried and tried and tried and it didn't work. Like whatever the reason, or they treated me badly. I mean, I've heard nightmare stories of, you know, things with payments and demands and start with that and then actually like lay out like what was it, what happened there, what went on, what was the characteristic of this person or their body or their injury or whatever, what behavior, any of it, and list like what were the qualities in the no people, in the people I would call no clients. And that's what then you can reverse that and kind of start to filter for that in the very least when people are reaching out to you, you know, and then tell people what's the next step and then what's the next step and what's the next step, right?
Do you think that it's worth not being like, I know we've talked about finding this ideal client, but for a lot of therapists, they may not know what their who their ideal client is. And I think a lot of therapists, and Melissa, I'm sure can speak to this, you know, at the beginning, you know, they're just trying to make as much money as they can, right? And so they're not as picky. It's like, you want a massage? Great. Come on over. I'll give you a massage. And so, I don't know what I'm trying to say. Like, do you think it's okay for people to, you know, to not be too picky at the outset? Or, you know, you mentioned earlier about how things can just spiral out of control if you're not picky. I don't know what I'm trying to ask. Maybe you can add.
I don't know. I don't know if Melissa was going to say something, but no, 100%. I think that when somebody's starting out, I think you need to work with as many people as you can.
Yeah.
And in fact, like, so I don't work with people who are just starting in their businesses. I work with established practitioners. Mm-hmm. And one of those reasons is because I'm helping them build processes that, to me, you don't systematize anything in your business until it's already proven. Like, you can't build a system before you've already shown, oh, this works, right? I've done this over and over and this works. And part of that is, you know, understanding who your ideal client is. And I regularly get people who really want my guidance to start their business. And I actually tell them, I'm like, just go be as scrappy as you can and do the best you can and just experiment.
Make mistakes.
Yeah, exactly. Make mistakes and go, you know, and also I think a really good lesson though is understanding there's going to be really rough spots maybe and just know like that you're just learning. Like that's not, doesn't make you bad at what you're doing. Doesn't make you a bad practitioner. You're going to make mistakes and that's going to happen and just keep that as data. So I totally think that people should do that, you know, and again, people want to join my program, and I'm like, I don't think you should be in any like step-by-step business program in the beginning. I really think you need to go flail, and you also need some fire under your butt. I have been the sole provider for my kids since forever. So like I've had no choice but for my businesses to make a living for us and support a family. Mm-hmm. And like, that's important. You know what I mean? Like, you just gotta like really go after it and try. And so, yes, that's my, Jordan, I think people in the beginning try it all. But as you're moving along, it's not like there's some magical point at which you're like, da-da, now it's time to identify my ideal client. It's like every few months, every quarter, every 6 months, every year. I've been in business for years and I still hone in on this more and more and more. You know, I have very particular client avatars written out and so on. I revisit those at least every 6 months. Make sure, are these still accurate? No, hone in on that more, might swap one out for a different one. And it's all based on, I've worked with so many more people now in the past 6 months, in the past year. Who are my ideals out of this? Who's the ideal client here? So that's an ongoing evolution in your business. So you start working with as many people as you can, you start paying attention, you know? You get that one guy who, you know, was like this, and you note, okay, that's a red flag. I when I first talked to him, I didn't know that was a red flag then, but now I do, and you pay attention to that for the next person, you know? And then again, somebody comes along with some particular problem and you turn out to do great with them. So you can think, well, if there's somebody else who has that problem, let's bring them in and see. Or you could start calling out to people with that particular problem.
Right. You know? Joanna, I love what you said about, you know, you've been the sole provider for your family from the beginning. And most of the people that we work with are women. Like, a lot of massage therapists are women. There's not a whole lot of men in this field. And I think, just to talk about kind of our own story, there was a period of time where I wasn't able to work and Melissa had to be the sole provider for our family. And I remember that was a scary time for you, but you know, it was cool to see Melissa really rise to the occasion. And I think that there's a lot of women in this profession that, they don't really understand their potential, right? And I think it helps for a lot of women to, you know, take a step back and say, I'm good at what I do. I have a lot to give. And there's, you know, I can be really successful at this, and just have this mindset that, no, I can do this and I can be successful and I'm going to go out there and I'm going to make it happen. And it was really cool to see Melissa do that. And I, you know, I love her for it, because I was not in a good headspace, and she really just rose to the occasion and transformed her small business into something that was, you know, incredible. And you know, people reach out to her all the time and want to know, well, what was it? Like, what do you do to, what have you done to create such a successful practice? And it's like, you know, I think at the foundation, it's the fact that I believed in myself. Melissa believed that she was, you know, good at what she did, and that she could be successful. And I think, you know, whether it's self-esteem or whatever, like, people just need to believe that they're capable of doing this. And yes, it's going to be hard, right? Nobody wants to deal with the accounting and all the other things that we hate about our businesses, right? But like, you can do it, right? And I think that's one of the things that I hope listeners get out of this, is just this inspiration, this motivation, this belief within themselves that they can go and do great things, because I've seen it time and time again. So
Definitely.
Yeah.
And I think that it's so helpful to have someone guide you as well. And so this conversation has been so enlightening. Like, I love this. Learning from you, Joanna, has been amazing, because you just seem like you could probably talk for hours and I would just be like at your feet, like, teach me. But I know that our listeners can also learn from you further as well. And so I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about your free masterclass that you have offering as well, because I know a lot of people would be really interested in that.
Yeah, so I have a whole framework for massage therapists to build a profitable and sustainable business, and I call it the Client Champion Formula, and I have a free training for you all, for your listeners. I think you could probably put the link in the show notes. It's at joannasapir.com/massagelifepodcast. And that is a 4+ part training that basically is this entire framework. It's super enlightening. That's what I'll say. It's like a roadmap to how to get your business to be profitable and sustainable. Yeah. And I just got a email from a former client. She worked with me for years and kind of graduated on recently and just sent me this report that like when I talk about a sustainable business, I also call it a resilient business sometimes. And it's a business that can survive hits, you know, it can survive whatever comes along. And it turned out that she had a major health issue come up, and she actually had to have surgery and was, you know, surgery and recovery, and was off work for 7 weeks, and her business had its highest revenue month while she was off. And to me, I'm like, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about right there. And I know that plenty of people listening, especially if they're solo practitioners and they're just right now trading time for dollars, can't even imagine how that happens. But it totally can. So this training kind of gets into some of that. Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. We'll definitely include that link in our show notes, and mm-hmm. we'll send that out to our email list as well. So that's awesome. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming on today. This was so fun. Yeah. It's so fun to interview somebody.
Yeah, yeah.
You kind of opened the gateway for us to have more people on. So this.
And now we have a reason to go to San Francisco.
Hey, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think we have any friends in San Francisco.
For sure, let me know.
There's still snow outside.
Yeah.
Well, we've had a really cold and rainy winter, but not compared to.
Really?
Not. There's no snow here.
I don't want to hear you complain about the weather. Man.
Well, okay. Thank you for having me. Yeah, fun to talk to you guys.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for listening. If you'd like to stay in touch, you can follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. We've included the links to these in the show notes. Also, be sure to check out our website, onlinewellness.ca, if you need any continuing education credits. All of our courses have been approved by massage associations across Canada. Anyways, we'll catch you next time.